Okay, we are at the opening of a new major topic in Hilchos Yichud. Last time, we saw some of the Gemaras near the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph that dealt with Malkus, and those were conceptually important, if you remember from last time, in terms of highlighting that Yichud doesn't create a presumption that Gil Arayis probably happened. Yichud is also because Yichud is also in its own right because of a possibility, but far less than 50%, because of a possibility that a Yichud situation could lead to something much worse, could lead to actual znus. So that's why, as the Gemara says, Yichud is also lechatchila. Am I allowed to engage in Yichud? No. If a man or woman did engage in Yichud, they malkin ala yichud, at least in principle, we would give malkus for that violation. Yichud itself is aser, matar, mijarbanan. Even if it's minatar, it's not a lav, so the malkus is malkus mardus. But in after the fact, post facto, we would say we know that you violate yichud. There's a possibility that actual znus occurred, but not a probability. It's clearly a miut, so that's why ein osrin ala yichud. In the aftermath of a violation of Yichud, we would say you deserve a punishment for the act of Yichud, but we're not going to presume that probably actual znus occurred. Nafkamina is, we're not going to assume if Eishas Ish was misyachedes with a man other than her husband, we would say that was a violation. And the Gemara discusses, should we give Malkus, or are there ancillary reasons why we wouldn't want to give Malkus? But either way, we definitely would not say merely because of Yichud. As we discussed last time, there was a parasha of Sota Safik, there was Yichud that was preceded, a stira that was preceded by a kinoi, that already is more than merely Yichud. It's still not a vadai znus, but that already creates enough of a real Safik that we call her a Sota Safik, and she says we impose the Isser Sota Labav Ulaboel Misafik, unless you have the Me Sota to solve that question. To answer that question. So that was our focus last time. And then the Gemara goes on, take a look at Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara goes on, one more point of that, and then we move into a major new topic. The Gemara goes on, but this itself is an important concept that's going to be practically relevant as well, although here the Gemara presents in the context of Malkus. Two lines below the Aleph in brackets, Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Amarav, Malka, the little letter Dalad, three lines below the Aleph in brackets, the little letter Dalad, the Mishpanei Mitzvah, Malkin Lal Tova Shmua. Rav says, not only do we give Malkus, at least in principle, for actual violations of Yichud, we need to give Malkus for behavior that might not be technically a violation of Yichud, but behavior that generates Lo Tova HaShmua. It generates negative rumors about a person. That if I'm behaving, not stam that if someone decides to libel me and slander me and make up all sorts of terrible stories about someone, that's not a crime on the part of the victim of that Lashon Hara. But if a person, if Reuven did indeed, he wasn't just, it's not baseless that there are rumors going around about Reuven. If Reuven was behaving in an inappropriate fashion, and that impropriety is generating more rumors about him, Malkin lo tova shmua. We consider that itself a violation of halacha, and you can get Malkus for that. Interesting source, a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Al banai, ki lo tova shmua. Know, my sons, the shmua, the rumors about you are not good. Who said that to whom, by the way?
Eli.
Eli, too, very good. To his sons, excellent. Eli to Chafni and Pinchas. Chafni and Pinchas were behaving, as you see at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, definitely in an inappropriate fashion. And Eli says to him, the way that you're behaving with women who come to the Mishkan is generating rumors that you're up to far worse. And the Gemara is being medayik, al. The word al is one of the words in Chumash that creates a real Isser Lav. The Torah says lo, or al, pen, or hishamer, those are no, don't words. And that creates a real Isser Lav. So this is a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. This is not one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's a pasuk, it's Divrei Kabbalah. But we would give Malkus because of the way that Eli phrases it. we would consider that midrabanan to be like a lav, and we would give malchus for lo tova hashmua, for improper behavior that to the extent that it generates shmua. So that, and this is a concept that appears elsewhere in halacha also, and it's going to recur in different yichud situations, and that's more commonly referred to as mechur hadavar, mem chaf vav ayin resh. It means that it's ugly or it's sketchy. You're behaving in a way that there was no technical yisur. Technically, it wasn't yichud, but that didn't smell right. It didn't pass the smell test. That's already halacha concept, mechur hadavar. This is an inappropriate situation. So whenever we deal going forward, and it's going to come up in the next couple of topics, whenever you're trying to handle a potential problem of yichud, you need to look at two. You need to pass two tests. Number one has to be technically mutter. It can't be a technical violation of yichud. You have to introduce enough people or enough visibility, what have you. We're going to get back to more details in a moment. A non-violation of yichud. Plus, now it cannot be a. It's not sufficient. That's technically not yichud. It also has to be appropriate. If technically it's not yichud, but doesn't smell right, it's a sketchy situation. Mechur hadavar. That's lo tova shmua. That has to be addressed as well. So that you're always thinking on two levels: is it yichud, and if it's not yichud, is it mechur hadavar? Now, as promised, let's jump back into the important nitty-gritty, but not just nitty-gritty, large concepts in terms of hilchas yichud lechatchila. We've been talking about the aftermath of hilchas yichud. Let's go back to, is it mutter as well? So up until now, we've been talking about heterim because of relatives, and heterim because of the number of people who are there. And add a male shomer, sometimes add a female shomer, sometimes add two male shomerim, as the case may be, v'yashen, v'derech, k'sherim, prutzim, and so on and so forth. And here we have the next major next pair of major concepts. At the small letter hey. Amar Rabba Baila Beir in Choshim Mishum Yichud. Rabba says, here's our next major heter. There's no concern of Yichud with a married woman whose husband is in town. Baala Ba'ir. Her husband's in town. He's not here. The husband was here. That would obviously generate a heter Yichud. Husband's not here. He's elsewhere in town, but he's around. The fact that this married woman's husband is in town, that already mitigates the Isser Yichud. So that's what Rabbis introduces, the concept of Baila Be'ir. And then Rav Yosef introduces another concept, Pesach Pasuach L'shus HaRabim, Ein Choshim Shem Yichud. Nothing to do with who's married, who's not married, but you have an open door policy. The door is open to the street, the door is open to L'shus HaRabim, to public domain, and that's not a Yichud situation. Sounds like that's public enough, that's not Yichud, that's public. That's not yichud, that's public. So we're going to, for now, we'll focus on Baal Be'ir, and then we'll have to come back in a later shiur to take a look at Pesach Pasuach.
Manis Turner, please come to the room, office 203A. Thank you.
The Gemara goes on to tell a story. The Gemara tells a story. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, by the way, lived at the same time. They were peers. Depending on how you count the generations Amoraim, often you say that either both third or both fourth generation Amoraim and Bavel. They were the dar after Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Chista, that whole Rav Yehuda, all those Talmidei Rav and Shmuel, and they were the dar before Rav and Abaye. First one was Rosh Hashiva, and the other one was Rosh Hashiva. We're going to tell some stories about that. They were peers. Rab and Rav Yosef. So Rab introduced Baal Be'ir, Rav Yosef introduced Pesach Pasuach, and then the Gemara tells a story about Rav Yosef and Baal Be'ir. The Gemara tells as follows. Rav Bibi, if you want to be technical, the name is Bevai, I think in Divrei Yamin, but it's usually pronounced Bibi. So Rav Bibi, the Amora Rav Bibi, Ikla, he traveled Levei Rav Yosef. He lived somewhere else, and he comes to Rav Yosef's town, and comes to Rav Yosef's home, and he was going to be Rav Yosef's guest. So Basar Dekar Chrifta, after they had literally wrapped bread, after they had supper, Rav Bibi had traveled a long way. Apparently he was tired. And he davened the early Ma'ariv. He was going to go to sleep. Okay. So Rav Yosef, obviously, Rav Yosef and Rabbi Tzion are going to practice a good Echnasas Archim. The man is exhausted. We'll give him a comfortable bed. Rav Yosef is not going to sleep yet. Rav Yosef is home. So for him, it's still early. He's going out to the Beis Midrash, he's going out to Paschal Shabbos, he's going out to help people, whatever he's going out to do. So Rav Yosef will be heading out, and Rav Bibi is going to go to sleep. And Rebbetzin and Yosef apparently is going to be staying home as well. So Rav Yosef is very concerned, we're going to have a yichud problem, because I'm leaving the house, leaving behind my wife, Rebbetzin and Yosef, and my guest Rav Bibi. So how are we going to solve that? So Amar Lahu, Rav Yosef tells the other people who are there, Shakuli darga mituse bivi. Take away the ladder, pull away the ladder from underneath bivi. What does that mean? Try. Pull out the rug from under him? Literally, almost. Rashi explains that they had two-story homes, and the way the construction that was common in Bavel at the time, you can research, if you're really curious, you can do some more research into 4th century Persian architecture. Apparently what was common was they often had, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, during Tekuvos Tanam and Amoraim, they would have, the nicer homes had a second floor. Sometimes it was a two-family home, and the second floor was separate from the first. In this case, it was a one-family home. The two floors were attached. But they often didn't have fixed stairs. We assume if you have a two-story house, you have stairs that go from the first floor to the second floor. That was rare. What was common was there was a hole in the second floor. We also have a hole. We just don't think of it as a hole because the stairs lead up to it. They would have a hole, and there would be a ladder that we put in place that you would use to climb up from the first floor to the second floor. The ladder could move. Usually you left the ladder there. So if you, especially, certainly if there are people upstairs, you leave the ladder there so when they want to come down, they can come down. Rav Yosef says, but right now we actually don't want him to come down. He's going to sleep for the night. We're not inconveniencing him. He's not going to come down until tomorrow anyways. But he's not allowed to be able to come down because if he has access from the second floor to the first floor, it's a yichud problem. If he has the ability to climb down to where Rebbetzin Yosef is, that's a yichud problem. Rashi says they had eaten upstairs. Apparently this is different than our architecture. The dining room had been upstairs. So they'd all been eating. Rav Yosef, Rebbetzin Yosef, Rav Bibi were all eating upstairs. And now, Rabbi and Rebbetzin Yosef are going downstairs. Rav Yosef leave the house. Maybe other people are eating with them too. They're also, everyone's going downstairs. Rav Bibi is going to stay upstairs. He's going to go to bed. So Rav Yosef says, take away the ladder. And that way he's locked upstairs. So he'll be comfortable and no problem of yichud. So far so good. As with the last yichud, Maisa Rav, we had with in the yichud sugyas, you should be bothered by actually a very similar type of problem. Right. What's a yichud problem? Baal Ba'ir. If Yosef isn't leaving town, he's just going to the Beis Medrash. He's going to take care of whatever's going to be taken care of outside. He's going to Night Seder. He's not traveling from New York to New Jersey for Night Seder. He's not traveling from Surah to Pumbedisa for Night Seder. He's going to be local. So the Gemara asked that question. He says, what's... But didn't Rabba say that Baal Ba'ir is not a problem? And you see, the Gemara assumes that although Rabba said X and Rav Yosef said Y, the Gemara is assuming it's not a machlokas. It's not like Rav Yosef says, no, Baal Ba'ir is not a heter, pesach pasul is a heter. They're two independent dinim, and they hold of each other. Rabba's the one who formulated Baal Ba'ir, Rav Yosef is the one who formulated pesach pasul, but they both agree that Baal Ba'ir is mutter. So the Gemara says, so what was Rav Yosef so worried about? And the Gemara does not answer, no, Rav Yosef doesn't hold the Baal Ba'ir. What's the Gemara answer? The Gemara answers an important exception to the rule of Baal Ba'ir. Just like we said, Shnei Nashim Ksherim is mutter, but Prutzim is an exception. So Baal Ba'ir is mutter, but here's an exception to Baal Ba'ir. Shiny Rav Bibi, the Shushvinte Havoy, the Geisa Bay. Rav Bibi is different. You're right, nor if it had been some other guest, there would have been no concern of Yichud, no need to start moving the furniture, moving the ladder. Nah, Baal Ba'ir. But Baal Ba'ir didn't work here. Why did it fail here? Because the exception to Baal Ba'ir is what the poskim call Libo Gaspa. When the man and woman, the married woman and the man she's going to be alone with, are hamish with each other, they're comfortable with each other, familiar, they know each other from before, so that gets rid of the power. It gets rid of the heter of Baal Abir. So apparently Rav Bibi and Rabbi Tin Yosef grew up together. Back when they were kids. They were neighbors. Mashu Kazet. So they knew each other from way back when, which is nothing inappropriate, but they were comfortable with one another. So as a result, it's Libo Gaspa. So there's no heter of Baal Abir. That's the Gemara. Baal Abir is mutter, but if Libo Gaspa, they're not mutter. Yeah.
Why does Baal Abir usually work?
Oh, great question. Fantastic. So you're asking a logical question. Another, I assume you're what you're leading towards is why would Libo Gaspa get in the way? Great, great question. Hold on to that for a moment, because before you even get to why, let's first deal with the more fundamental question of whether. We're going to get to the why very soon. The why is going to be the second machlokas we show and we're going to talk about. But first, let's take a look at a Rashi. Going back to Amar Rabba, Baal Abir, in Choshen Mishum Yichud, Rashi says, over here, Baal Abir, in Choshen Mishum Yichud, just the first word, let's see. Rashi says, in Choshen Mishum Yichud lehalkos. We're not concerned with Yichud to give Malkos. But this came off of the discussion of getting Malkos for Yichud. So, Rashi says, oh, if it's Baal Be'ir, then you don't get Malkus for the Yichud. Anything strike is interesting about that? What's the basic fundamental Diyik, Gedalia?
It's not a Malkus.
Ah, sounds like it's not. That's Mutter, just it's the Isser is lowered. It's not so bad that we'll give you Malkus. And what bothers you about that? Ask a basic kasha against Rashi. Rashi seems to be saying the Baal Be'ir is not mutter. It's just a lower level Isser, you don't get Malkus. If it's not Baal Be'ir, you get Malkus, as we discussed. If it's Baal Be'ir, you don't get Malkus. But it remains Isser. And the incredibly powerful kasha against that is, yeah, what was the whole point of that story with Rav Yosef? The Gemara said, Rav Yosef, why do you have to take the latter way? I was Baal Be'ir. We had to explain, no, there's an exception, Libo Gaspa. Exception, Libo Gaspa. Just say, it's very nice. By the way, no Malkus, but Rav Yosef is a pretty religious fellow. And so is his wife, and so is Rav Bibi. So they weren't just interested in avoiding punishment, they're interested in doing the right thing. If according to Rashi, Baal Be'ir is Osir, just no Malkus, so what was the Gemara's whole question? Oh, Baal Be'ir. As a matter of fact, such a good kasha, that Tosas asked this question. Tosas says, Baal Be'ir, ain't choshu b'shum yichud. Pirish Bekuntres. Because Rashi says, Ein Choshen Nahalkos. Mashma. And here, Tosas had Gedalia's line of reasoning. Mashma mitok Pirusho. Rashi didn't say it black and white, but it sure sounds like he's trying to say, Haisura Miyaika. There's no Malkus, but remains Asa. It's not Mutter. Bekasha. Then came my part, Besamach, out of Yosef. What was the Gemara's problem with Yosef? Next couple lines. Shkuli, he had said Shkuli Dar given to Sibibi. Rav Yosef once again toasts his reviews. Rav Yosef had the one who had been concerned with the problem of Yichud Ber, move the ladder. The Gemara had asked on Rav Yosef, "Oh my Rabbi, Baal Be'ir, Choshen Mishum Yichud. Why is he so worried? Baal Be'ir." And now Tosas said, "Well, my kushim. What was your expression? Need the Malkus Laka? True, there's no Malkus, but Yisur Miyaika. The Nira Lafarish." Tosas says, and from that next line of Gemara, it seems absolutely clear that ein choshishin klal mishum yichud afilu isura laka. The pasha pshat in the Gemara, certainly from the next law, from the upcoming story, is ein choshishin. It's also a simple meaning of the term ein choshishin, means that we're not concerned. Not that we're less concerned, we're not concerned. Mutter. Baal Be'ir is mutter. That's the machlokas Rashi and Tosis. The first machlokas we've shown him in the world of Baal Be'ir is Baal Be'ir mutter or not? Rashi says, shockingly, it's not. Tosis says, we're not sure where Rashi is coming from, but Pashup Shah in the Gemara, Baal Be'ir is mutter. So you look at Shulchan Aruch. A first look at Shulchan Aruch, Se'if Ches. Here we are, Simon Chaf Beis, Se'if Ches. Rashi says, Shulchan Aruch says, Isha shebaila be'ir ein choshen l'sechedima. There's no concern of yichud with her. Because of the concern of her husband is on her mind. Bimhaya ze gaspa, but if it's libo gaspa, what would libo gaspa look like? Shulchan Aruch gives some examples. Kigon shagad limo, if they grew up together, and they were little kids that grew up in the same block. Oshi krovaso, or they're related. Your sister-in-law. Your brother's sister, there's no heter yichud. It's not a, your sister, there's not a heter yichud, according to at least most Rov Rishonim. But your sister-in-law, it's not a heter yichud. And now you have a heter yichud, it actually make it worse. Because she may be Baal Be'ir, but it's not going to help, because hopefully in a normal, healthy family situation, you're pretty hamish with your sister-in-law. In an appropriate way, in a totally appropriate way, you're much more comfortable than with a random woman. You'll be much more comfortable with your sister-in-law. You'll be much more comfortable with your cousin than with a random woman. Okay? It's both. Godly Mo and Kravasa. So, and again, in a normal, in a healthy family situation, so that's Libo Gaspa. So then, in that case, oh, the Shulchan gives one more example, which will, Kine La Baila, a very negative type of Libo Gaspa, is, this woman is married, and her husband had said to her, I'm concerned that you're having an affair with Ploni, you should not be alone with Ploni. So once that kinoi, from the Sota context, was uttered, that's a very negative type of Libo Gaspa. So we're not going to say, obviously we're not going to say, Baila Be'ir, her husband's in town, she can have Yichav, this fellow. No, this is the guy that the husband said, something fishy is going on. Husband may be right, he may be wrong, but certainly that negates... That's definitely qualifies as libo gaspa to negate by Levi'ir. And Shulchan Aruch says, again, three examples of libo gaspa, gadla imo, krovaso, or kinela baila. All those cases of a libo gaspa, lo yisachet imaf v'shabayla. You may not have yichud. And Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear there, that as opposed to normal cases of by Levi'ir, where you may have yichud. And in fact, the Beis Shmuel, in Tosa's position over here, Sif Katan Yud Beis, Isha Shabbat Be'er in Choshishin. Hainu Kishitas Tosus. That's like Tosus. Deleke Isir. There's no Isir whatsoever. How did he know? Ein Choshishin. That's what the Gemara said. But you reach the end of the Sif, it becomes clear that he thinks that means you're allowed to have Yichud. Okay. Well, the Rashi Aser Ve'en Lokin. According to Rashi, it is Aser. Some of the notes that came try to defend Rashi. Pasha says we follow Tosus. Ba'el Be'er is Mutter. That's Machlokas Rishonim number one. Whether Baal Be'er is mutter or not, and we seem to paskin like Tosis, yes, Baal Be'er is mutter, Pash Pshan the Gemara. The second question we shown him raise is the Silent Ditzis question. And that is, well, why is Baal Be'er mutter? And that ought to give us some insight, as Nassan pointed out, into, well, how come Libo Gaspa makes anything any different? Why is Libo Gaspa a problem? So the truth is, we just read the Shulchan Aruch, let's look back at Rashi again. We had only read the first word of Rashi, and then we froze. We were so overwhelmed, shocked by that first word. Lahalkos! How can Rashi say, Lahalkos? But that one little Rashi, he's not done with his Chidushim yet. Let's go back to the Rashi. Bayal Be'er and Choshen, again, going back to Rabbo's core statement, that Bayal Be'er and Choshen, Rashi is in Choshen Lahalkos, Chidush number one, wow. And then, he says, why the Mistafi Mibal Pashta Asi? How come it's mutter, or for Rashi at least less aser? What's the logic? Either way, let's put it more generally. What's the logic of Baal Be'er? What's Baal Be'er changing? Mistafi Mibal Hashta Asi. He's concerned, or maybe they're concerned, that the husband may show up. Hashta Asi. He's gonna come now. What did the Shulchan Aruch say? They point down the side, the little Lerayin, they send you to the Ran as Dilma Hashtasi. Mistafi Baal, he might show up now. Okay, we don't know for sure he's going to show up now, but he may pop in. What did Shulchan Aruch say? What's the language of Shulchan Aruch that I want to read? How does Shulchan Aruch explain why Baal Be'er is mutter? Sifres. Yishabal of the ear, a woman whose husband is down, in Koshin Lisachedima, it's known as Yichud. Why? Rashi said it's Mistafi Mibal Hashtasi. He's worried that the husband may walk in the door now. Shulchan Aruch says, The concern of her husband is on her. It's on her head. That language, not just, where does Shulchan Aruch get that language from? Not from Rashi, obviously. He got it from the Rambam. And in fact, a number of Acharonim point out that that language, some of the recent Acharonim point out that the difference in language between the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch on the one hand and Rashi on the other hand is that he's worried that their husband would walk through the door, or Emas Ba'ala Aleha, something more general sounding. Chaznish writes that it's a nerve, it's a feeling. Emas Ba'ala. As opposed to what? What do we say about the following case? What would you say about the following case? A woman you have a woman who's a psychotherapist, and she has an office, married woman, firm woman, and she's a psychotherapist, and she has an office, and she sees clients. Sometimes maybe she sees families, sometimes she sees couples, sometimes she sees individual people. Is she allowed to have male clients? Or let's put it differently. How would she be allowed to have male clients? For her to sit with a man, not her father, not her son, she's definitely not seeing parents or children. If her parents or children need therapeutic assistance, they should get it from someone not related to them. So she's going to see some unrelated man. You can sit down with her for 45 minutes, an hour, to have a private conversation. No one else is popping in. That's part of the therapeutic experience. It's not open to the public. So, is that a problem? Is that not a problem? Sounds like there's a problem that needs solving. So, well, on the other hand, let's say she's a married woman and she and her husband work in the same town. So buy a beer. They have offices 15 blocks away from each other. So what would you say? Mutter Asa.
He
says he's not going to pop in. He's not even allowed, in this case, not even allowed to pop in. And even if it was, she wasn't the therapist. She was some other sort of professional. I was having some other sort of meeting. But having a private meeting with it's just her and this man, and the husband isn't planning to come. It's not at home. If she's at home, that was the case in the Gemara. Right? Rabbit and Yosef is in the Yosef home. And the rabbi and Rabbit's Yosef home. If Yosef is leaving, where is he going to come back? In a couple of hours, here. Maybe he'll come back a couple of hours, maybe he'll come back a couple of minutes, home. But what if, how broadly would we apply Baal Be'ir? So, the Pischei Tshuva is an important Pischei Tshuva. Oth Zion. Take a look. Pischei Tshuva here sort of, in this print sort of wraps around from here to here. So it begins on page 114 near the bottom. The Zion, right where my thumb is. Emas b'si emas ba'ala oleha. So he says, Ayein b'sefer binas adam. Look in the sefer binas adam. Anyone here ever seen a sefer binas adam? You think no, although in fact you have. You just know it by a different name. Binas adam is the footnotes that the Chachmas Adam, the Chai Adam, wrote to his own Sefer Chachmas Adam. It's like the Mishnah Berurah wrote, Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, and then he wrote footnotes on himself. Shaar Tzion and Bir Halacha. So the Chai Adam did the same thing. So in the Chachmas Adam's footnotes to himself, Chai Adam is the same person. Chai Adam they wrote on Aruch Chaim, on Hilchos Tefillah, and so on and so forth, and Yom Tov and Shabbos, and everything else, Yoreh Day and everything else, it's Chachmas Adam. So in the Chachmas Adam is where he discusses Hilchos Yichud, Rav from Danzig. So Ayin, he was an Achron who lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s, a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon, and he related to him, and he lived in the same town. He lived in Vilna, and he's proud to describe himself as the Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. So the Chachos Adam writes, look in little letters, Ayin b'sefer binas Adam, shar beis hei, it's beis hanashim, where he discusses Ebenezer topics, Sivan chav zayin, shin chav shekhasav, Dalid Nun Lama De Niro Lo. It would seem to him. Here's what the Chachmas Adam says. Davka Beresa. He said, Chacham Zalman said, this whole kula of Bible be here only at home. Why? Right, Davka Beresa in Mishum Yichud. Go on to the next page. At home, if she's at home and her husband's in town, then they never see Yichud. In Holechas the Bayis Acher, if she's going somewhere else, Afbi Shabbal Be'ir, she's going to be in the same city as her husband, but Yeshua Mishum Yichud. There's no Hetri Yichud. Dibizel lo shayach to Mistafni Baila Ashtasi. Because the whole logic of the Hetter, the engine driving this Hetter, is the husband may pop in. The husband may pop in if she stays at home. But if she's going somewhere else, so why do you assume the husband's going to pop in? Again, as Dovi pointed out, certainly if she's having a meeting which for professional reasons needs to stay in confidence, the husband can't pop in. But even less, Chachasanov isn't even saying that this woman is a psychologist and her husband's not allowed to come in. Some. She went, not that some man came to her house, she went to some other location to meet with someone. Well, camera's not going to be by the beer, but camera may solve it on a different level. Very good. Hold on to that thought. And then, so the Pesach Yeshua says, now he quotes Chachazam, number one, the whole Heter Baal Be'er, it's only in a location where the husband is going to return to. And then he says something else. And this brings us to Nisan Alditz's point from before, which was Libo Gaspa. What's with Libo Gaspa? So the Pesach Yeshua continues to quote from the Chachazam. Av Biodas, She Odeya Hechazam. Even if she knows that he knows where she is. Got it? Okay. So she knows, he knows where she is. She knows that he knows where she is. But still, in Baila, become a woman. In Baila, Nostal, Rashus, Valeches, Leves, Ploni, Vadech, Hashini. If her husband was okay with her going some other location to meet with some other man, it's definitely a problem of Yichud, unless you have some other solution. Definitely not Baila Be'ir. Why? Certainly, your husband said, go have a private conversation with Ploni. Close the door. What's he saying? If you look at the Chacham Zadim inside, Chacham Zadim explicitly asks Tzitzis question. He says, one second, I understand. You're worried that the husband's going to pop in. If you're worried the husband's going to pop in, pray tell, what is Libo Gospel? It's very nice that this married woman and this plony are Hamish, but if the husband, if she's worried the husband's going to pop in and find them in the act, all the Hamish guy is not going to help very much. So the Chachma Zadim is forced to give this very, very torturous explanation of Libo Gaspa. He said, Libo Gaspa, it's like this. He says, if the husband's going to walk in, and even doesn't find them mamish in active znus, but it's the whole thing, this looks a little suspicious. Like, why is this guy here? This is very bizarre. So the fact that the husband could walk in over the course of the 3 hours and find them alone together, and that looks odd, that's what drives the Baila Be'ir, says the Chachmas Adam, according to Rashi. And so he says, as soon as it's understandable to the husband that they're alone, that's Libo Gaspa. So it doesn't have to be that they're friendly. Libo Gaspa, that's just an example. It could also be that there's some other reason why they're not that they're friendly. They're having some sort of meeting. Or here's an electrician who came to do some work in the house. As long as there's some reasonable explanation, the husband wouldn't be surprised to find them alone together. That's called Libo Gaspa. What the Chacham Zadim just did is essentially gut the entire heter of Baal Be'er. And if you look at the Chacham Zadim, he also seems like he's warm to the other approach of Rashi. Maybe Baal Be'er isn't mutter to begin with. And then he goes on to say, if you accept this approach of Rashi, namely that the logic of Baal Be'er is the husband may pop in, he points, well, that becomes incredibly, incredibly limiting. It's only in a case where no one has to be the husband. It has to be in a case where the husband is likely to actually pop in. And Libo Gaspa expands to become this enormous, any time that makes sense they're together, Libo Gaspa no Baal Be'er. And let's unpack the first piece more. According to Rashi, and there are other Achronim who take this approach. Chavetz Chaim does write like this in some places, and Moshe Feinstein writes a little bit like this. He says, Baal HaBe'er has to be the husband who could actually pop in, which means not only he knows where she is, and it's the location he's likely to come to, like home. And Rav Moshe writes, what does it mean to be Ba'ir in town? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says this takes you back to a different era. He says, you have a Jewish family. They live in the lower tenements in the Lower East Side. And the husband works in the garment district in the 40s, in Midtown Manhattan. That was a very classic setup. So, now, they're in both in Manhattan, but it's going to take by train. He's not, by walking, it would take forever. Even going by train, they take a solid 45 minutes to get home. So he says, that's not by a little bit year. By a little bit year means the husband could pop in any minute. But if she knows that it would take the husband forever to get home, that's not by a little bit year. We, however, accept, I think most posts can accept the approach of the Chida and the Chazon Ish, rooted in the language of the Rambam, which is what Shulchan Aruch quotes, that Baal Be'ir is something much less technical. Baal Be'ir isn't the concern the husband might actually pop in. We'll get to that in Pesach Pasuach. It doesn't have to be the husband. If in general there are people who legitimately might pop in, that may be enough to solve a Yichud problem. What the Rambam is pointing to, Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam, is even the husband can't pop in, or isn't going to pop in. It's just knowing, coming back to Dietz's question, that Rambam seems to say that this is a chazanish very explicit about. It's a nerve, it's a feeling. The fact that the husband is in proximity, he's nearby, he's not actually going to pop in. But she's a married woman, her husband's right nearby, he's in town, and he's in the neighborhood. That's already enough that it's psychologically inhibiting. It's not that practically he may walk through the door. Baal HaBe'er means that she feels more inhibited because her husband's in the zone. Her husband's right around the corner. Her husband's in town. So in town might be too far to drive quickly. And it may be he doesn't even know where she is. Or he's definitely not popping in, but his proximity is enough to inhibit. And finally, the post can point out that once you accept this broader approach to Baal HaBe'er, then Libo Gaspa falls into place very simply. You don't have to work in, you no longer need the dechukim of the chayadam. Baal HaBe'er is an inhibiting factor. Psychologically, she feels more inhibited because her husband's in proximity. So if on the other hand, she feels more comfortable with this fellow because they're more familiar, because Libo Gaspa, so that counterbalances some of the inhibition of Baal HaBe'er. It's not a question of the husband might actually pop in. Husband's around, that's more inhibiting. But if, on the other hand, she's more hamish with this fellow, that reduces some of the inhibiting power of Baal HaBe'er, so that you're back to an Isser Yichud. Halacha L'maisa, I think the majority of posts can follow the Rambam and the Chazon Ish. And in Mirtshem next time, we will talk about Pesach Pasuach.